We're open to those, and just keep in mind we're here to help you guys. So if there's something that you can think of that you think would be helpful to us, we're open to ideas. No?
Yeah, no.
And if you think of anything later, you can always email Marilyn, so that's always an option. But I can't really think of anything else other than that. Marilyn, can you think of anything?
No, other than incorporating some of this visual training for some of the support staff to go back and help their prosecutors. You know, if you don't have time to put together a PowerPoint or at least be there to be a resource.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh. My assistant is my assistant is on the board also, and I hear very good things. I wouldn't expect anything less, but good to hear.
Great, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
No, she's great. We like her. So.
Are like paralegals invited to that visual trials court?
Probably not. Maybe the first go around. That's why we're thinking we would take it to their UPAA conference and train them on, you know, some of the specifics that they might need. But we could look at opening that up in the future.
I will say when we started hiring paralegals at Utah County, like, it was a godsend. And especially for some of our prosecutors that were a little bit less technologically savvy, to have the paralegal have the ability to do that for them, it made some really effective trials. With the paralegal there running the program, it really helped us a ton.
Yeah. We'll talk about that at our next meeting of maybe setting, if it's going to be at our conference, we'll set some real quality, more time than an hour, maybe even an afternoon or something. To really address that, see if that would be a service that we could add.
Yeah.
I don't know if Blair would want to.
Well, and it could be that after Tyson, Trent, and I have helped a couple of times, that we could facilitate some of that training.
And Stephanie from Will's office, I mean, she's really savvy
and
all of this too.
And maybe that's what you're going to say, but my follow-up to that is, and maybe what we do is we, you know, identify some of these key people from the offices and train them.
Okay.
You know.
But we'll keep all that in mind. If you have any suggestions or you want to put someone forward in your office that is really, you know, tech savvy that way, or they want to really take their skills to the next level, let us know and we'll include them in that.
It might be worth having a discussion about how a paralegal or assistant, whatever you want to call it, can help. Because as I'm thinking about it, I think the younger the attorney is, the more tech savvy they're going to be. I like your suggestion, and in fact, something that Blair said, while you're up there talking, it might be very good to have somebody clicking the button or moving from one slide to the next. That might be very quick.
But as you know, trials change midstream.
Yes.
You have to go back, tweak it, back in, while you're doing whatever. It was really invaluable.
Well, I don't see any reason why, if our job is to help prosecutors put on a visual trial with this course, right? If training somebody's paralegal assists with that, I don't see why the paralegal couldn't come to the course.
Well, and I've actually been thinking that very same thing is, when I said no, but maybe we do need to say we'll dedicate, you know, a couple seats to paralegals.
But I really like what you said in regards to getting a couple of them trained up and then letting them go as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they went through the course and then they could be what we plan to be,
the
roaming help a couple of times so that they have a mastery of it and they could teach it.
Yeah.
It seems like some of the presentations that we've had case studies, the case scenarios that come in, and are the prosecutor will give the main presentation, but he's always seems like he's got his paralegal or whatever, his legal secretary there, and she's, or he, mostly she, is there showing them all of the technical stuff while he's going through the case. They were in the background, really the backbone of putting this all together under the attorney's direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How often does, I can't imagine a scenario, it would be a very unusual scenario where I have a paralegal in a trial with me. Because they're not, I mean, how often is it that felony prosecutors have an assistant with them, you know, shuffling things around?
I think in big cases.
It's been a law clerk in our office, especially for the more complex, multi-week trials.
Yes.
When George Brockler came from Colorado in the Aurora case, this paralegal was there helping him with his presentation. She had a lot, I mean, she was right in there with him putting this whole thing together. So it's beneficial for sure.
And maybe we're going to create a new skill set for our support staff that can benefit the prosecutors, but also benefit them and could be used in terms of evaluations. And
I mean, that's what UPA is all about, is supporting the prosecutor.
Right.
Well, I think some of the smaller offices, your legal secretaries, they do everything, including that. So it's just not like Tyson, it's just not a class of people. It's who's in that role, who, you know. We're just here to help, Stephen.
I appreciate it. You pull another attorney in.
Okay, I think we're to resource prosecutors.
Resource prosecutors.
I move we get some.
My report's in the packet, so you can take a look at that for more detail. A couple things to highlight. We'll be talking about this more down the road, because there's a couple more things, but I just finished up developing and going over with Bob curriculum for a DUI boot camp course. And I think it's going to be really good. I've got a good agenda. I've got good curriculum developed. And I think it's going to be very helpful. I want to meet with the training committee in March to get some feedback and then also some suggestions on faculty for that before I roll it out. But it's about ready. It's about ready to go live. So other than that, my report's there. If you have questions, reach out to me.
What's our bandwidth to add something else?
Well, this would be me. This would be me running this, and so it would be different than a UPC conference. There would probably be some administrative support that would be needed, and we can work that out with Marilyn, or if we get this new part-time secretary, that person. But mostly, this will be me doing it, and so it will be a different burden than if we tried to add a different type of conference. Okay. So.
But we're not overburdening you. Well, I mean, obviously we do all of that.
No. This is my job. So okay. This is something I think will benefit prosecutors, and so we'll make it happen.
And we're sitting to you, so I need you to tell me when it's going to happen. So.
Looking at maybe annually, doing it annually. But again, we still have details to work out, so that's why I don't want to spend too much time on it here. But
it's interesting you should mention that. I heard of a county that was not comfortable with how they deal with DUIs. I think if you would ask cities, particularly the ones that are hooked in with UPC, they would be very comfortable handling DUI. What's your sense of, around the state, the comfort level of adequately dealing with DUIs?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I guess that is the answer.
It's by prosecutor, I think. It's not by office.
I know that periodically I'll pull numbers from the courts that allow me to see certain things. And when I see still police in abeyance happening on DUI cases that courts are allowing to go through, or impaired drivers on a 0.31 BAC, which are all strictly prohibited by statute, those things raise red flags. But I don't know, there's not any like specific location where that is centralized, sure. Right? It's like pops up. So I don't know. If you hear about that, feel free to refer those people to me, and okay. I will be more than happy to assist.
I think a lot of the uncomfortableness around, especially felony prosecutors who don't really do a lot of DUIs, and they get someone like, you got a few firms, you got the Shots guys, you got the Ayers, and those guys who are in there trying to introduce evidence on the on your test, your standard field sobriety test, which the prosecutors, a lot of them have no idea what it is. there's uncomfortableness in that sense.
And county attorneys are starting to take on a lot more DUIs now that the Class A's are on seconds.
This might be jurisdictionally dependent. Like our city prosecutor office in Salt Lake City becomes our feeder to the DA's office. And the first stop is where you handle the Class A and felony DUIs.
That's right.
So those, they may be very experienced in a way that someone in a rural county that's always just on felonies and suddenly has these new Class A DUIs may not.
Interesting. Trent?
Just want to highlight a couple of things on the report. Overall, I feel pretty happy with the number of participants we've been able to train. This past year, it was 3,670. Just for reference, 4 years ago, it was 1,625. So we've more than doubled just in the last 4 years. And even in 2021, 2 years ago, it was at 2,370, up roughly 50% from that. A huge chunk of those numbers are related to trauma-informed training. Law enforcement, as of this year, is now required to do at least 1 hour of trauma-informed training every single year. So there's a lot of training related to that. I can tell you from having presented those to the AG's office, to West Valley, to a lot of places, one of the feedback I do get frequently is, are prosecutors getting this as well? And I honestly think it would be beneficial for prosecutors having prosecuted sex assault offenses myself. I think there are a lot of prosecutors who don't understand how the brain works during trauma, how best to interview a trauma victim. And this training addresses that. I am giving a training in Salt Lake County on the 31st related to this, but would be happy to give a training to anywhere that would want it. One of the things, other things I wanted to highlight in particular, just to, I think as a testament to UPC's work, this training, the trauma-informed training, which is also a 3-day training we do for advanced sex assault investigations, is being taken nationally. So Dr. Angela Williamson, who is employed by the Department of Justice, she oversees the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative grant. She is going to tie a requirement to those receiving the grant, which is a ton of money across the country, to learning our trauma-informed victim interview protocol and learning how we teach you. So the fact that we've met with her, the fact that it even caught her eye, I think is a testament to how well this has been developed over the years by UPC. It's been trademarked, it's been implemented for the last several years, been very successful, and it's to the point that it's being nationally recognized and even nationally implemented, which I'm very excited about, and I think UPC should be pretty proud of too.
I think that's it. I don't know that there's anything that we haven't discussed. Any alibis?
I have something I was going to throw out. Just because communication is always hard. I got a nice invitation from my police department to come to a training on DUI. I thought I'm going to get an email or a text and then I hear from somebody.
Oh yeah.
Saying what next? What going on here? Anyway, there's a group, and I think Post sent out an email to all the chiefs association. Called Street Cop, I think it's called. I'm not saying whether you want to hire them or not hire them for your training, that's up to you. But it's a group out of the East Coast. We had an officer that saw them somewhere and thought they were great and worked with them and had was setting up a time to come in and use our place. But the New Jersey auditor found that they were, it's like a misuse of government money for sending their police to their trainings. The video clips that I saw, maybe they're out of context or not, but they're horrible. Not what you'd want to be training a police officer to be. Thinking, doing, and acting and stuff. So just be aware if your law enforcement agencies out there have them lined up. I know there are other agencies that had dates set with them and they're canceling them or putting them off or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen with it. And so just be aware. There's a group out there that if you hear that, you may want to look at it and double check.
What's the name?
Street Cop.
And a reminder that if your law enforcement agencies are looking for DUI training, they don't have to bring in a national group to do it and pay $250 a head. They can just call me and I'll do it for free.
I was reminded of that. It wasn't my thing. I told the chief, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man.
Okay. Well, with that, then we won't technically adjourn because we've got Professor Heine and her committee who are joining us that we're going to overlap a swap. But we probably want to wait 5 minutes until 11.
Did you already set the meeting?
Oh, yeah, no, but that was going to be what I was going to do next. So the next meeting is going to be April 7th.